President Clinton is putting the finishing touches on his acceptance speech, the address to be given later tonight at the United Center here in Chicago. It's the fourth and final day of the 1996 Democratic Convention. All week, events have been leading up to this grand finale. The speeches touting the Clinton-Gore record, proclaiming the Democrats as family-friendly, warning of the dangers of an extremist Republican agenda. Some 150,000 red, white, and blue balloons are in ceiling nets waiting to be unleashed. But the Clinton-Gore carefully choreographed convention program found itself suddenly overshadowed by another event today, the resignation of a top advisor. Dick Morris announced he was quitting after a published tabloid report claiming he had had an affair with a prostitute and allowed her to listen in on conversations he had with President Clinton. White House spokesman Mike McCurry said Morris was not the campaign, the president is the campaign.
The president has been working on the speech. The most significant thing he has to do tonight is go before the country, lay out his agenda for a second term, make the case about why his vision of change is preferable to those of his opponents, and he's very much focused on that. And that's what he's ultimately what today was going to be about. Would this matter have been preferable on any other day? Of course, but that's...
White House spokesman Mike McCurry. We're joined now by NPR's Elizabeth Arnold and Mara Liasson. First of all, we don't really know at this point whether these reports are true or not, do we, Mara? They've been published in a tabloid, then picked up by a more serious newspaper.
No, we don't know. Dick Morris has not answered them at all. He said he won't stoop to answering the charges of yellow journalism. The president issued a very terse statement saying, "Dick Morris is my friend and a superb political strategist, and I'll always be grateful for his contribution to my campaigns, period." The president has not talked to Morris, and according to Mike McCurry, nobody at the White House has tried to figure out whether these allegations are true or not.
Nevertheless, this was a campaign that was riding very high with the president's train trip through the Middle West, unanimous renomination last night, the prospects of an upbeat acceptance speech tonight. How much is this going to matter, do you think?
Well, it's going to matter. I don't know how much. It couldn't have come at a worse time. You've got to remember why Dick Morris was controversial to begin with. This is a man who'd worked for both Republicans and Democrats. In 1994, he had a lot of Republican clients, and some of them have told me that he counseled them then to run against Bill Clinton and use corruption and character as the best issues and to focus on Whitewater. So there were already questions about Dick Morris's loyalties, whether he had any principles beyond winning campaigns, To some people, this became a metaphor for the president, who also is sometimes seen as having no principles. President Clinton turned to Dick Morris in 1994 after his big loss. Morris devised the winning strategy that has helped the president. It's based on family values and co-opting a lot of Republican issues. And if these allegations are true, it makes that strategy look even more hollow and calculated. And I will say one thing in terms of how much effect his resignation, his absence, will have on the campaign, and that is not very much. He'd already laid the strategy. It's not going to change over the next couple of months. Clinton administration officials, including, I'm told, the First Lady and other top officials, had already been tiring of him. They were shutting him out. He'd burned a lot of bridges. He's a difficult person to work for. And a lot of people in the White House simply don't like him, even though they acknowledge his obvious brilliance as a strategist.
Elizabeth, Dick Morris, for however important he may have been to the campaign, he is a consultant. How important is this?
Well, he's already done his job. He did what he was hired to do. He positioned the president for the coming weeks, from reversing himself on the need for a balanced budget quite some time ago, which caused quite a stir on Capitol Hill, to the laundry list of items that we've heard this week designed to ease the burden on working families. President Clinton accepts the nomination tonight in position to appeal very credibly to the voters who will make a difference in this election, the voters that both he and Bob Dole are going after. The convention, the Democrats here this week have ratified that positioning, that Dick Morris positioning this week. So he's done his job, and so his resignation doesn't affect the president in terms of substance. I did speak to delegates today in the hotels and various caucuses about it. The majority said Dick who, so they don't really know who this guy is, but they will know who he is by tomorrow morning when they read the papers, which will be reporting on the reports in this tabloid, and that will be the problem for the president.
You've been following the Dole campaign, Elizabeth. What will the Dole campaign do with this, do you think?
Well, Dole's already responded. Not surprisingly, he said Morris has been trying to make President Clinton a Republican all along, which, by the way, has really upset Bob Dole for weeks and weeks. Now Dole says that Clinton can revert to the liberal Democrat he really is, which is not very likely, Linda. Why abandon a strategy that's working, especially when your own base doesn't seem to mind, which is what we've evidenced this week here at the convention? Dole will probably not have to keep the tabloid story alive, though. The press will be doing that for him. If it does die out, though, he or his surrogates will bring it up, just as they did during their convention, bringing up questions about the character of other officials who worked at the White House. And about 2 months ago, Dole showed no hesitancy of doing this himself. In Colorado, he was speaking to policemen about his crime agenda, and he expressed outrage that Clinton had hired Morris, who he said once consulted on a case involving an accused rapist. So it's the character issue all over again. It's an issue that the voters said in 1992 they didn't really care about. And that's when it involved the president himself. Now it's once removed. This round of stories is actually about his advisor, not the president.
Obviously, though, this is the last thing the Clinton campaign needed on this day. This was just supposed to be the big day, the culmination of this entire campaign, the convention, which is pushed toward this moment with every kind of beautifully done speech and list of wonderful accomplishments and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, but, you know, it is very Clinton-esque, because this is a guy who is often best when he has his back to the wall, and there's something about him and riding high that maybe doesn't agree with each other. He is known for the self-inflicted wound, and you could say that Dick Morris was a time bomb kind of waiting to go off. Many people speculated when would Dick Morris self-destruct. He'd already gotten in trouble before, as you know, for passing poll numbers to the Dole campaign, for trying to cut a deal with Dole, for being a little too clever by half, offering some help to the Perot campaign. So this was kind of a disaster waiting to happen.
What does he do in tonight's speech?
Well, President Clinton has a big job tonight. Up until now, the Democrats at this convention who've been on the podium have bashed the Republicans mercilessly. Now it's time for Bill Clinton to turn the corner, talk about the future, lay out a positive vision. If his theme is the 21st century, he has to talk about how his policies, how his second-term agenda will get America successfully through the transition to the 21st century.
So when the party conventions are over, where does this leave the campaigns as they head into the final stretch? Elizabeth?
There'll be a sorting out after the conventions. The Dole campaign's going to wait to see whatever bump the president gets out of the convention sort of settles down, and then decide whether they should continue thumping the tax cut drum. What they don't want to have happen, though, is to let Clinton drive the agenda. They don't want to be reacting to the president's daily initiatives. They're hoping to frame the race simply on tax cuts, although the president doesn't want to let that happen. And at this point, they're sticking to their two themes, tax cuts and character, summed up by the word trust. We trust you with your money. That's why we're giving you tax cuts. And do you trust Bill Clinton? We'll see whether they need to branch out any further than that.
And well, and the president, launch he gets here, the president?
The president, you're going to be hearing more of the same. You're going to be hearing about how well the country is doing under his stewardship, how good the economy is, the crime rate is down, more people off the welfare rolls. You're going to be hearing how bad it would do if President Clinton wasn't there to stop the Republican Congress. And you're going to be hearing the president talking more about his vision for the future, about the kinds of things he wants to accomplish in his second term. They're small. They're modest. They're not a very grand, sweeping vision like health care for everyone, but he hopes it adds up to a pretty compelling vision, one that can give him a mandate and a good head of steam should he win a second term.
Thanks very much to the two of you, Mara Liasson, who's been covering the Clinton campaign, and Elizabeth Arnold, who's been following Senator Dole.